Welcome to the Aspen UK podcast, where we bring people together to discuss topics that matter.
Hello, and welcome to today's discussion. It's part of a continuing series on Leadership Insights, where we invite members of our Aspen Institute in the UK alumni network to discuss key moments of strong leadership they've seen or experienced in the last year. We are also keen to hear whether they've also learned from leadership failures. I'm Penny Riches, the Chief Exec of the Aspen Institute in the UK. We know leaders face immense challenges, but we are also aware there's been a paucity of good leadership in the political sphere and in other arenas. Our lovely organisation works with a range of leaders across the UK, helping them to operate in a world that is becoming increasingly diverse and polarised, and to recognise how this influences their actions and decisions as leaders. We work with them to be more aware of their own values, more tolerant of others' perspectives, and more inspired to drive positive change. Today, we're joined by two thoughtful Aspen UK rising leaders. Godefroy Harito is a Greek-French entrepreneur and the co-founder of Tree App. He grew up in Athens, experienced firsthand the devastating effect of wildfires. Tree App is a certified B Corp, helping businesses and consumers offset their carbon footprint through tree planting and selling certified carbon credits. Some of Tree App's trusted partners include The Economist, Credit Suisse, and DPD Delivery Group, and the Aspen Institute in the UK. The organisation has planted close to 4 million trees across the world so far, and it's still a really young organisation. Godefroy is joined by Maria Romanenko. She is a journalist, a writer, and award-winning activist from Kiev, who now lives in Manchester. Since she fled the war in 2022, Maria has been helping Ukrainians settled as war refugees in the north of England. She has carried out free walking tours of both Manchester and Liverpool for more than 1,000 Ukrainians by teaming up with local walking tour companies and acting as the organiser, the translator, and the co-guide. This all comes under the umbrella of her organisation, All for Ukraine. She's also been campaigning on behalf of Ukraine, advising the government and local authorities on war refugee issues. So, as you can see, two remarkable people who are great and fantastic active fellows of the Aspen UK network. So let me just dive straight into the first question. If you have learned one thing about leadership in the past year, what has it been?
Yeah, I think, first, Penny, thank you so much for inviting me to this session. I'm really thrilled to be here. And I think 2023 was definitely a really interesting year, and even more considering all of the recent changes, especially, you know, looking at my field in climate, but also, of course, you know, in politics and the macroeconomy today. And everyone knows about, you know, the inflation and everything that has happened last year that has, you know, made life much more complicated for a lot of people across the world. And I see leadership indeed in a lot of different forms, maybe more regarding Tree App and my organization. All across the world, as you know, we have tree planters that are looking after their tree planting activities. And inflation has also hit all of these farmers that we work with as well, because the cost of buying goods, the cost of sowing the seeds, the cost of labor, everything is going up, which means that we need to adapt. And I love this definition that is in a dictionary that says the definition of intelligence is adaptability. And the fact is, if you're able to adapt to these new surroundings, however complicated they are, I think you're then able to thrive in whatever industry you're in. So in terms of leadership last year, I think there's a lot of people that continue to inspire me. But one person I love looking to is the founder of Patagonia, actually, Yvon Chouinard, who started the company in the 1970s. And I always mention him when I'm talking about an inspirational leader, because he has always built a business for purpose. And I think that today most organizations should try to thrive towards this direction, that you can build a business where the goal is to have a purpose and have an impact out there. And I think it's still a bit taboo today to think that you can mix business and purpose together. But I really am trying to, I guess, push everyone that I work with to go towards this being positive.
Isn't, I think Patagonia is such an interesting case study as well, isn't it? So encouraging people not to buy their products and encouraging them to use them until they fall apart and so 30, 40 years' time. Yeah, I agree with you. Maria, has one moment of excellent leadership in the last year stood out to you as well?
Yes, definitely. So obviously coming from Ukraine, I have to live through and suffer through what millions of Ukrainians are around the world. And there are a lot of things that unite us. And one of the personas that unite Ukraine in terms of support is the head of the armed forces of Ukraine, the general Valery Zaluzhny. And his I think the way he's been leading the Ukrainian army has been very, very interesting because he's currently considered as the most successful military leader in the history of modern Ukraine. He is the only Ukrainian commander in chief who actually served in the army and actually fought in the war, in wars. And he has been referred to as an Ottoman or father or iron because his surname sounds a bit similar to the word iron in Ukrainian. And 92% of Ukrainians actually support him, which I think is very, very high. There's not, I think that's the most supported person in Ukraine at the moment. And I've been reading up about the way he leads the army and how he does it and why it's so phenomenal. And I've been learning quite a lot about this from different interviews of people who are in the army and who basically come across him. And a lot of them say that he's very approachable. He will never sort of turn you down if even if it's somebody like a ordinary soldier looking for advice or support. He will always give the time, give his time if he can. He always remembers things like that somebody has just had a baby and will ask those questions. Very, very personable, I think, way of leading, which I think what makes him so exceptional. And he is always there on the front line himself without really advertising it. So he spends a lot of time on the front line talking to soldiers and understanding their issues. And he allows all the battalion commanders and unit commanders to make decisions themselves. So he gives autonomy, which is something that I really like. I enjoy if I'm being led by somebody, if I have a supervisor, I enjoy a level of autonomy. So I think that is really interesting. So
It sounds
it
like
would
he's
definitely.
experienced and accessible and human. It's quite
Yeah, and all of those things, yeah, really, really appeal to me.
That's really interesting. So he sounds like he's quite an unusual leader, especially an unusual military leader. Have you been inspired by any unusual leadership styles in the last year apart from him, right?
Well, in terms of unusual leadership style, so I think I've got quite an unconventional probably answer to that one. It's through my work here in the UK, as I mentioned before that we actually start recorded, is that we've been doing some activities in terms of cricket as a very, very traditional. I think it's probably the most English sport, although I guess lots of people will argue there's many different great English sports, but cricket is one of the ones that's very, very, lots of people take pride in it. So we've been working with London Lancashire County Cricket Foundation, and we actually organized for a group of Ukrainian young Ukrainian war refugees in Greater Manchester to form the Guard of Honor at the Test Ashes when those games were in Manchester. Unfortunately, that actually whilst the kids were there and we were ready to go ahead, it was raining throughout 2 straight days, of the games when it was supposed to happen, which is again a very, very English thing. So the actual Guard of Honor didn't happen. But whilst we were preparing for it, I was reading up a lot about cricket. I didn't really know cricket has a very, very small presence in my country, actually. So And as I was doing my research, I came across a term called busball, and I don't know how many people actually heard about it, but it's something that helped re revolutionize English cricket, and it's associated the term and the method of leadership and playing Test Ashes. It's associated with two people, and that's Brendan McCullum, who was the Test head coach at the time, and Ben Stokes, who Test captain, who's still obviously a very, very well-known figure in English cricket. And it's all about never really letting the game die. So always like quick scoring, quick acting, and it's also sometimes referred as confusionless cricket. So basically, do quick acting. And that appeals to me, I think, is because, that's not the method that I'm used to. I'm always very thorough. I always like, I do everything wholeheartedly and need always take my time to do things. And it's quite an interesting approach that, sometimes imperfect action is better than nothing. You have to do things. So that's the one for me.
Oh, that's really interesting. Thank you, Godfrey. Have you come across any unusual leadership styles, whether it's sporting or otherwise?
Being not too much into sports, I'm not sure if there would be a lot added in there. I think that the whole question is what is a usual also a leadership style and what is unusual. I think anyone can consider any kind of leadership to be usual or unusual. I like to see leadership unusual leadership as something that, yeah, is maybe unconventional and where creativity emancipates a bit more. And I think it's maybe the entrepreneurial side into me that loves to see creativity and this set of things. One leader which might be very conventional, but maybe being half French, half Greek also pushes me in that direction, is I feel like Emmanuel Macron, especially in my field, who's the current president of France, has done a lot to push the whole startup ecosystem and the entrepreneurial ecosystem, not only in France, but across Europe. And for someone in my field, it's definitely something that I see pushing in the right direction. I actually met again over the last few months a Greek minister. I can't remember which one it was, but who came to London to do a presentation about the environment in Greece and in general how basically climate change is affecting a lot of the forests in Greece because of increase of temperature or more extreme weather. And although he was, a minister that was not that famous and he wasn't someone that I heard about before, in a 1 hour session with him, where he was presenting in front of 100, 150 people, just by the amount of knowledge and the willingness to spread this knowledge about the environment, and you can see the passion about it, showed how he was able to get people behind him. And you wanted to support basically this whole concept and this idea of we need to protect our own ecosystems, we need to protect where we are, where we live. And so I think that sometimes leadership is not just about being able to, being able to act on something, but it's you, how can you regroup people around an idea, and what are the ways that you can regroup these people? So there's a lot of people I admire, my father being the first one in the top of the list from all of the ones I mentioned. But I think this is someone that everyone. Or most of us have with us. But I think what I find unusual is when someone can put out, out of nowhere and be like very impressed with some of the things they're doing.
Cool, thank you. It's been great to celebrate good and unusual, but can either of you, both of you, give me examples of leadership failures you've either seen or experienced in the last year or so?
Yeah, that one's quite easy for me as a journalist. So I used to be a massive fan in terms of social media platforms of Twitter. it used to be a great platform. Where lots of journalists, pretty much every journalist was on Twitter, and non-journalists as well. It just was a really, really easy platform to share news, share opinions, get traction, get sort of engagement and talk to people. And then obviously, and over the last year or so, over the last year and a half, there's been lots of changes on Twitter with the takeover of Twitter by Elon Musk and renaming it as X. And, you know, when he came into that position, he said that he will make Twitter better than ever and things like that, which, first of all, you know, thinking was, well, it's, if it's not broken, you know, don't fix it, don't try and fix it, because I've not really heard anyone complain about it before. But then the changes that he brought into Twitter, which led to lots of my friends, journalist friends, leaving and changing to other platforms, and Twitter just becoming really, I think, or X as it's now known, becoming a really toxic platform. One of the promises, again, that he said would be that there would be fewer bots and greater transparency and more of something that he called free speech. But I think it's just kind of become the opposite of that.
Godfrey, do you have another example of leadership failure you've either experienced or seen in the last year?
Yeah, I was trying to think about one when you were asking earlier. I think the best example is myself. You know, as leading a company, you do mistakes all the time. You never admit it, but you do mistakes all the time. And I think true leadership is understanding and being able to reflect on these mistakes. I can think about one of them. It was 2 years ago. We thought that our users wanted to do something specific. So long story short, Tree App, we have a mobile app which enables anyone by watching ads to fund tree planting projects all across the world, which means that it's completely free for users to watch these ads and basically fund global tree planting projects. And we thought, without really surveying our users or just asking a few of our users, that we would basically introduce a new feature, something that they would love. And although the team was quite against the idea that I was bringing in, I thought, you know what, let's do it. I believe it's going to work. I don't have any evidence, but I had this gut feeling. Well, you know, on social media or on series or on movies where you have someone saying, I have a gut feeling it's going to work. Look, this is just something you see in movies. It's very rare that you have this gut feeling that is really, you know, something that works out. Anything on these platforms that exist out there, features that are being developed, have a lot of research, have a lot of data that is being used to process this. And it was a good learning for me that, you know, if you want to lead a team in a specific direction, it's not just about how you feel when you wake up a morning and you decide, yeah, out of thin air, this is the decision. And it was a good learning for me because I had a few team members that actually left. We spent 6 months developing something that didn't work out. And I had a session where I had someone in tears in front of me in the team, you know, telling me, why is this happening? Why are we leaving? And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, bad consequences that you need to go through because you haven't been the right leader. And it's not easy to say this, but when you reflect and learn after all of this, what happened, you know, and especially if it happens to you, I think it's even more powerful.
That's very self-effacing of you to share that. Thank you very much. Let's go something more positive to end. We are at the beginning of a new year. What do you both recognize as leadership challenges and opportunities as we start 2024?
So my partner and I, we are in the middle of formally setting up All for Ukraine, which is the company under which we, CIC, a community interest company, under which we will unite all the efforts that we've been doing for the last 2 years anyway, you know, in terms of supporting Ukrainian war refugees, particularly in the northwest of England, but also all over the UK. And the challenge, lots of challenges obviously come with the setting up a new company, but for us in particular, it is about convincing funders and grant givers, because our principle is that all the services of, I think it's all the services that we offer, everything we do for Ukrainians, it's at no cost to them. So that's, you know, we've been very clear with that. We don't want to charge for anything that we support them with. And so we'll have to apply for grants and look for funders. So that is convincing them that and making them understand the needs of Ukrainians and the challenges that are that they face by being here in the UK, moving to a new country.
Good luck with the challenge. Godfrey, what do you see as either personal or societal challenges for leaders ahead?
I'm hopeful. I like to think I'm I'm not too much of a realist, but I always look at positivity. I would like to think that, 2024 is going to be a positive year for not only geopolitical issues, but also climate. Although we've been seeing recently, a lot of data showing that there's not a reduction of carbon emissions across the world. There is somehow in some places reductions of forests being cut, of deforestation. So, especially in some areas that used to be very much harmed, like in Indonesia, are now seeing their forests thrive back again. These are the kind of storytellings that we want to say out there, that don't look at only the negative, but also focus on the positive that is happening out there. And there is even terms that have been created to explain that, if you focus too much on the negative, then there's no outcome in it, and you just start falling into a deep hole that you can never get out of. So this positivity is what we're trying to focus on, and thinking, there's always something more we can do. There's always something we can do to support the cause that we are all more passionate about. And this is where I'm hoping that, I can bring also my team towards to this year.
Well, I hope both of you seem to have challenges ahead, but I'm glad that you're still striving for the positive and committing to really making a difference in society. Thank you both so much. It's been such an interesting conversation. I've really enjoyed it. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please keep an eye out for others in our Leadership Insights episodes on the Aspen UK podcast. And if you're interested in joining our Aspen community, joining Marianne Godfrey and so many others, either as a rising leader or a more senior leader looking to embark on or continue your own leadership journey, please go to our website to find out more about our fellowship and our executive seminar opportunities. But now, thank you so much for listening. I'm Marianne Godfrey. Good luck with those challenges in the year ahead.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.